Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the power of His Spirit at work in our lives as believers. Thank you, Jesus. There's something about the leading of the Spirit. There's something about the leading of the Spirit. Every believer must be found paying attention to the leading of the Spirit. God leads us by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Listen, it's no joke. God leads us by His Spirit. God gives us direction, insight by His Spirit. Hallelujah. How can I be led of the Holy Ghost? Stay full of the Word of God and stay prayerful. The man that is full of God's Word and is given to prayers. Hallelujah. All kinds of prayers, including singing spiritual songs. We'll walk in the leading of the Spirit. We'll discern the leading of the Spirit. Now, God leads all of us by His Spirit. Every believer is led of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit is not the sign of maturity. It's a sign of Christianity. But not every believer discerns the leading of the Spirit. Not every believer is responsive to the leading of the Spirit. I don't know why I'm saying this morning, but this may be an instruction to somebody listening to this right now. It is time for you to begin to pay attention to the leading of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It is time to begin to pay attention to the leading of the Spirit of God. It is time to start being responsive. It is time to stop saying something said to me and you know something told me and you know something told me. I mean, you spent too long a time making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Being disobedient to the voice of the Spirit of God. You spent too long a time making mistakes, doing things, going to places, you know, relating with people that you either to have been cautioned to not relate with. Places you've been cautioned to not go. Things you've been cautioned to not do. And then you end up doing them and then you come back to say, and something said. Listen, it's not something that is saying something. This is the Spirit of the living God leading you and giving you direction as to what to say, what to do, where to go, who to relate with per time. It's time for you to begin to take heed to the leading of the Spirit. Listen, it's going to cost you so much if you don't pay attention to the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Take heed to that instruction. Your life will not remain the same. So you're welcome again to Everyday with Jesus broadcast. I will be studying from scriptures the difference between Old Testament forgiveness and New Testament forgiveness. Hallelujah. We made clear distinctions between forgiveness in the Old Testament and New Testament forgiveness. Hallelujah. And then we are still studying and exploring this truth. This is episode 23 of Everyday, you know, with Jesus broadcast. And we are still seeing forgiveness, Old Testament versus New Testament. In the first week, we saw what would Jesus be saying to us every day. What is the gospel? What is the word? In the second week, we explained 1 Corinthians 2, 1-2, explaining the phrase and the implication of the saying, the phrase, Christ and Him crucified. And then from the third week, we began to explain and teach on the forgiveness of sins. This is the fourth week. We are still exploring the truth about forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Let's make progress. Some of the things I've said in this teaching is how that forgiveness of sins in the Old Testament wasn't a total removal of the condition of sin, of slavery to sin. That these men were not delivered and set free from the power of sin. They were just being pardoned and spared. Hallelujah. So forgiveness of sins in the Old Testament affected actions, did not deal with the root. Forgiveness of sins dealt with the offenses, catered for the offenses a while, you know, temporarily, but then could not cater for the offender, could not transform the offender. The people were the same, but their sins were being forgiven and covered temporarily till Jesus would come and offer the ultimate sacrifice. Hallelujah. Now let me also say this again, that the idea of pardon in the Old Testament, and even as we have it today, God's pardon, God's long-suffering displayed towards men, is something you don't need to have faith to receive. I'll say that again. It's something you don't need to believe God for. That is, we saw how the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God, the forbearance of God was towards men, even in their unbelief. The children of Israel were a classic example, or a classic example. Yet in their unbelief, they continually experience God's long suffering, God's forbearance. Hallelujah. They experience pardon for their sins. God was not dealing with them according to their iniquities. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 to 19. Numbers 14, 18 to 19. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 to 19. This is Moses speaking. Hallelujah. Numbers 14, 18 to 19. Don't worry, I'm also trying to locate my way. Hallelujah. Numbers 14, 18 to 19. I'll read. Bible says, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of these people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven these people from Egypt even until now. So, right from the sojourn of the children of Egypt, children of Israel from Egypt, down to Sinai, down to, you know, the promised land, in quotes, in those days, Canaan, God had always pardoned and forgiven them in spite of their sinfulness, in spite of their unbelief. Hallelujah. There were the folks written about in Hebrews chapter 3. Men who could not enter the promised land, who could not enter God's rest because of unbelief. Hallelujah. Men who sinned in the wilderness and their carcasses were scattered in the wilderness. It was these same people that the writer of Hebrews writes about in Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And he says, the same gospel that the Spirit through us was preached to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see, down until the time that Jesus came upon the scene, the children of Israel had not repented of their unbelief. Many of them were still in unbelief. That's why the Bible says in John 1:11, Jesus came to his own did not receive him, but as many as believed him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. Glory be to Jesus. Romans chapter 10, Paul laments concerning the children of Israel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them record that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So the failure of Israel, of Israel as a nation, had always been unbelief, lack of faith, doubting the promises of God. Glory be to Jesus, doubting the word of God. Yet, these were the men, Moses says, God had always forgiven them and pardoned them. Hallelujah. You know, Bible, you know, when Jesus came upon the scene, Jesus referred to them as a faithless generation. Now, the question is this: how did they survive? How did they remain alive despite being a faithless generation? God's long suffering, God's forbearance, God's mercy, hallelujah, God's compassion, God's pardon and forgiveness, as seen in the Old Testament, in which God was generous, God was long-suffering, God was kind towards them, though they were not in the faith, though they did not believe the promises of God. Hallelujah. So you don't need faith to receive this pardon. The only thing a man needs faith to receive is the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Faith is needed to receive the remission of sins. Glory be to Jesus. Faith is needed to receive the remission of sins. That's why the gospel demands faith. It demands that a man must believe. You can enjoy pardon without believing. You cannot have remission of sins without believing. Glory be to Jesus. You cannot have remission of sins without believing. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Glory be to Jesus. Acts 10, 43. Oh, yes, Lord. Acts 10, 43. Bible says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Whoever believes will receive remission of sins. Hallelujah. Whoever believes will receive remission of sins. So you see that believing is required for a man to receive remission of sins. Believing is such a necessity. You must believe to receive the gift of the remission of sins. Look at Acts 13. Hallelujah. Acts 13, Acts of Apostles, chapter 13, verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Everyone who believes. Hallelujah. Everyone who believes. Glory be to Jesus. Everyone who believes. So, believing is required for receiving the gift of remission of sins. But you did not need to believe. Man does not need to believe to receive pardon, to be forgiven, for God to not deal with them according to their iniquities, for God to forbear with men and be long-suffering towards men. You don't need to believe. It is the goodness of God to all men. Just the same way God makes his rain and his sun to shine and to fall on both the good and the evil. Hallelujah. So why then does a man need to believe to receive the remission of sins? Why? Man needs to believe to receive the remission of sins. Remember the definition of remission of sins. It means to release from bondage, to deliver from the power of Satan. Why do we need to believe to receive remission of sins? Because we actually submitted ourselves to Satan through unbelief. Hallelujah. Remember from the beginning that the fall of man happened because man disbelieved God, man doubted God's word, man failed to trust the word of God, and man believed the message of the evil one, of Satan. Hallelujah. The devil came with a contrary notion. He came with a contrary revelation, something that distorts the word of God, something that opposes the word of God, and man believed it. Hallelujah. And that's unbelief. Believing something contrary to the word of God. So we submitted ourselves. Every man submitted themselves to Satan's dominion through unbelief. This is why it is necessary that you believe in God. It is necessary that you believe in Christ Jesus to be delivered from that bondage to Satan. Hallelujah. Now that men have submitted themselves to Satan in unbelief, Satan is unwilling to let them go. Satan has held them captive. Hallelujah. And is unwilling to let them go. So men must believe and trust in Christ for the liberation and the deliverance, you know, of their souls. Glory be to Jesus. So believing is such a vital ingredient. It's a necessity. No man will be delivered and, you know, have their sins remitted without believing in what Jesus did. Glory be to Jesus. So that's that about that. Now listen. So we've seen also that atonement as used in the Old Testament is the word that means to provide a covering. A covering. Atonement was a covering, a temporal solution. A temporal covering for sin. It means to cover, it means to conceal, to condone. Hallelujah. To pardon. And we saw that the word atonement is used to qualify the forgiveness that is found in the law. That is, there is no forgiveness without atonement. The atonement of sins, or the atonement for sins rather, is the forgiveness they had in the Old Testament. Praise God. We also made a distinction between atonement as used in the Old Testament and atonement as used at Romans chapter 5 verse 11 of the KJV translation. We saw that the word atonement in KJV, Romans chapter 5 verse 11, is the word that means to restore to favor. The word atonement as used in the law, however, has not to do with reconciliation back to God or reconciliation with the Father. It has something to do with covering the sins of men for the time to come. Hallelujah. Till sins were going to be ultimately dealt with in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10. You know, we're going to see that again. Hebrews 10, how that it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So the blood of bulls and goats only provided a covering. Hallelujah. They were symbolic. They were not the main thing. They were only symbolic of the real thing that we have obtained in Christ Jesus. So the word atonement, let's see scriptures again. It's a prominent word in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 29 verse 33. Exodus 29 verse 33. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, Exodus 29:33. Bible says, they shall eat those things with which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But an outsider shall not eat them because they are holy. Hallelujah. So the atonement is made. Glory be to Jesus. Atonement is made. Now, look at this also at Exodus chapter 30, Exodus 29, verse 36 to 37. The same Exodus 29, 36 to 37. Bible says, and you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. See that there was offering made every day for atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And the altar shall be made, shall be most holy, Whatever touches the altar must be holy. So you see that the word atonement is prominent, is used. And that word atonement, I've said, is the word that means to cover, to condone. Look at Exodus 30 verse 10. Exodus chapter 30 verse 10. Hallelujah. Exodus 30, 10. The Bible says, and Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. Aaron shall make atonement. Hallelujah. With the blood of the sin offering. Atonement, a covering. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 15 to 16. Of the same chapter 30. Hallelujah. 15 to 16. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the rich shall not give more than the poor. Shall not give less than half a shekel. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when you give offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. You see, it signifies an equality. So whether you are rich or poor, in the Old Testament, you are required to bring the same offering. Why? Because in the final analysis, the sacrifice of Jesus was going to be the same offered for both the rich and the poor. Hallelujah. So a symbol of that was seen in the Old Testament laws. Glory be to Jesus. Verse 16, and you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and you shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourself. Atonement, a covering. Take note of the articles that were used, the gifts, the sacrifices, blood of bulls, blood of goats, and then a shekel, hallelujah, half a shekel rather, that is money, were used in the Old Testament. You see, all these things are corruptible things, all these things are natural things. Glory be to Jesus. Exodus 32 verse 30. Exodus 32 verse 30. Hallelujah. Exodus 32 verse 30. Bible says, now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin. So now go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Atonement, a covering. Leviticus 1, 4. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 1 verse 4. Leviticus chapter 1 verse 4. Glory to God. Bible says, then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. Hallelujah. To make atonement for him. Glory to Jesus. Atonement. Leviticus 7 verse 7. Leviticus 7 verse 7. Glory to God. Bible says, the trespass offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them both. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. The priest who offers, the priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. So, atonement is made. Glory be to Jesus. Atonement. Atonement, atonement, a covering, a pardon. Hallelujah. Leviticus 8, look at Leviticus chapter 8, verse 31 to 34. Leviticus 8, 31 to 34. Bible says, and Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting and eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of consecration offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. What remains of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn with fire, and you shall go up, and you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you as he has done this day. So the Lord has commanded to do, to make atonement for you, even for the priest, Aaron and his sons. Atonement was made for them. Hallelujah. Atonement was made for them. Look at, so atonement is what you find regularly in the law of Moses. Let's see a final one. Leviticus 9, 6 to 7. Leviticus 9, 6 to 7. Bible says, then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. And Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Again, so you see, it's quite a prominent word in, right from Exodus to Leviticus to Numbers, you find atonement, which means a covering. Hallelujah. A covering, a temporal covering for sin. Glory be to Jesus. That's why Hebrews 10:3, I'll say again, I'll quote it again, by now you should have it registered in your mind. Hebrews 10:3 says, but in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. The reason why there was a reminder is because the sacrifices of the Old Testament were merely covering sins. They were not taking away
the sin of men. Hallelujah. Now look at something very interesting. At Leviticus 6, verse 25 to 26. Leviticus 6, 25 to 26. Something very, very interesting. Hallelujah. So interesting. Leviticus 6, 25 to 26. Bible says, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering shall be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it. In a holy place, it shall be eaten in the court of the tabernacle of meeting. Hallelujah. He shall eat it. Interesting how that the sacrifice for sin was being eaten by the priest. One of the reasons why the sacrifice could never have brought forgiveness. See, what was happening here is like a joke. Hallelujah. Why? Because Bible says in Hebrews 10 that the law having a shadow of the good things to come. That is, they were not the main thing. So, imagine that the priests were the ones eating the sacrifices. Hallelujah. Oh, what joy it is to be a priest in those days. Oh, what joy it is to be a priest in those days. I mean, you offer lots of sacrifices, animals, and then you are busy feasting and feeding fat on those things. Back in those days, the priests didn't have an inheritance among the people. The Levites were taken away from the people, and then, you know, they didn't have inheritance among the people like that, because God says to them that He is their inheritance. Now, these were the things they were freely eating. Sacrifice. Busy eating sacrifices regularly. Hallelujah. Now imagine, how will this kind of system cater for the nature of man, cater for the sin of men, cater for deliverance from the power of sin and Satan? It's impossible. Hallelujah. If you have noticed, at Exodus 29 verse 33, this was said also. They were eating the sacrifices. Because the sacrifices were not the main things. God didn't intend that the sacrifices were going to take away sins. Because of Israel's rejection of faith, Moses gave them this law by the disposition of angels. And then he was now illustrating that which Jesus will come and do in the flesh by the offerings in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. We have grain offering, we have sin offering, we have, we have trespass offering, you know, all kinds of offerings. Glory be to Jesus. Trespass offering, burnt offering, different kinds of offerings that were types and shadows of the essence of Jesus' sacrifice for sin. Glory be to Jesus. At Leviticus 7:7 also, you see, it was said in Leviticus 7:7 also, the priest that offers it will have it. They were eating it. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Very interesting. So how would this kind of sacrifice take away sin? Impossible. It's impossible. They were ceremonial, busy ceremony. They were just busy, you know, about ceremonial things. There's no way those things would have power to save man from sin. Glory be to Jesus. Colossians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Colossians 2, verse 16 to 17. Hallelujah. Bible says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Have you seen? He refers to the ordinances of the law as food and drink. Hallelujah. Food and drink. They were just eating and marrying. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9, 1 to 14. Pay attention very well at this junction too. Hebrews 9, 1 to 14. We'll read the whole of Hebrews 9, 1 to 14. Bible says, then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pots that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Verse 6, now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle was still standing. Verse 9, it was symbolic for the present time. Listen, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Verse 10, concerned only with food and drinks. Have you seen?
The sacrifices were about foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. Foods and drinks. Glory be to Jesus. I mean, the priest and the high priest, they were busy eating the sacrifices. This kind of thing could not have taken away sin. Hallelujah. So it was just a shadow. Glory be to Jesus. It was just a shadow. It was just a symbol. It was totally symbolic. And because of that, it couldn't provide the real forgiveness of sins. Glory be to Jesus. Now look at verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, that is his body. Verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from what? From dead works to serve the living God. It refers to the law as consisting in dead works. Hallelujah. Imagine this. Dead works. Dead people offering dead works and trying to deliver themselves, you know, from the power of sin. Impossible. Glory be to Jesus. Dead works cannot deliver dead men. I'll say that again. Dead works cannot deliver dead men. So it takes a living person. It takes a living man. It takes a living sacrifice to deliver men from the power of sin, to deliver men from death. Glory be to Jesus. So until Jesus came, remission of sins was an impossible feat. It couldn't have come to pass without Jesus' appearance. Hallelujah. Without Jesus' appearance. Hebrews 6:1 also speaks of dead works. You know, repentance from dead works to faith in Christ. The Old Testament was referred to as dead works. Because of that, it could not provide remission of sins. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. It is not possible. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 5. Therefore when he came into this world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Hallelujah. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. It takes away the first, that he may establish the second. So God did not find pleasure in the sacrifices for sins in the Old Testament. Who was eating the sacrifice in the Old Testament? The priest and the high priest. Hallelujah. The sacrifices did not ascend to God as a sweet smelling savour or aroma. Glory be to Jesus, because they were referred to as dead works. They could not please God. They couldn't appease God. Hallelujah. They couldn't take away the barrier, the enmity that existed between man and God. They couldn't deliver men from the power of sin and death and Satan, from the dominion and the rule of the evil one. Hallelujah. So until Jesus appeared in the body, he says, you have prepared a body for me. So Jesus came, identified with humanity, and through his death, he destroyed him who had the power of death over our lives. Hallelujah. He made us alive by his death and resurrection. He gave us a new life, a new spirit, the gift of eternal life. Glory be to Jesus. So it's by the sacrifice of Jesus, men are perfected. Bible now says in Hebrews 10:10, by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. To be sanctified means to be set apart unto God. Hallelujah. It's by the sacrifice of Jesus we are set apart unto God. It's in the sacrifice of Jesus we obtain the remission of sins. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Look at verse 11. It says, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man,
Hallelujah. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies had made his footstool. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Glory be to Jesus. Those who are being sanctified. You see, it takes the living to save men from death. Dead works cannot save dead men. Hallelujah. At all. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14 to 28. Bible says, for it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, if in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. According to the power of an endless life. Jesus came according to the power of an endless life. Hallelujah. Not by a fleshly commandment. For it testifies, verse 17, for it testifies you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. Hallelujah. Have you seen? The Old Testament, the Old Covenant was weak and unprofitable in this matter of remitting sins. In this matter of salvation from sin, the Old Covenant was weak and unprofitable. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Look at verse 20. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but him with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Unlike the sacrifices of the Old Testament, blood of bulls and goats that would be killed, slain on the altar. And after they are dead, the priest will even eat these sacrifices. Jesus came according to the power of an endless life. He died and he rose again. Hallelujah. Bible says if Christ is not risen, then we are yet in our sins. Hallelujah. The reason why we have remission of sins today is because our high priest is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. He has an unchangeable priesthood. He continues forevermore. Because of this, he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God through him. My high priest is alive. Hallelujah. I'm alive in him. Glory be to Jesus. Our sins have been forgiven on the basis of the continuity of Jesus' priesthood. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. What a marvelous God. Hallelujah. Our sins have been forgiven completely on the basis of Jesus' continued priesthood and intercession. Our high priest is alive forevermore. Our sacrifice is a living one. Hallelujah. So our sins are remitted because our sacrifice is a living sacrifice. Glory be to Jesus. We are alive to God because our high priest is forevermore. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Do good to tune in tomorrow for another powerful time in God's word. Hallelujah. Invite your friends. Tell somebody about it. Shout about it. Let's come again and learn about the power of remission of sins, the reality and the truth concerning remission of sins in Christ Jesus. Have a great day, being full of the word, full of the Holy Ghost, full of prayers. Be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.